Hello, it's Thursday, November 10th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. First of all, we want to remind everyone that tonight we're going to appear on Visigoths from the Grassy Knoll from 8 o'clock Eastern Time till 10 o'clock. And what we're going to talk about is Flight 93. This was the supposed crash of a Boeing 757 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. This was the last event to take place on 9/11 before WTC-7 fell. Now, when I came home today, Lisa says, how are we ever going to do this show? Everything about this case is based on speculation. There's so many contradictions. And she's right. There is a lot of speculation, and the contradictions are enormous, aren't they?
Yes, and it doesn't appear that there's any real hard evidence of hijackers or wreckage of Flight 93.
So what we're going to do is examine this the same way we did with 9/11 on trial. The first thing we're going to go back and look at is what we do know and what the government's official version of events is. So supposedly a Boeing 757 was involved, right?
Right.
We know then that this aircraft weighs 120,000 pounds. It's 155 feet long, and has 124-foot wingspan, very similar to the plane that supposedly hit the Pentagon, but in our opinion never did.
Right.
So, do we know now if this plane crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania?
Well, it reportedly crashed at 10:03 a.m., but there's a question about that, too. Some say it actually could have crashed at 10:06.
Or that there was another event that took place at 10:06.
Right.
So let's look at what the government explains what happened, their explanation, their official explanation. Well, in Shanksville, where this event supposedly happened, this was a one-time strip mine, okay? And the mines were filled years ago with what the government says is soft dirt. Now, I had to ask, what's the difference between soft dirt and hard dirt? I mean, do we have any idea what the difference is between soft dirt and hard dirt? But they specifically said soft dirt for one reason. And that is because they said that Flight 93 actually came down nose first into this abandoned strip mine.
About 580 miles yep. per hour.
Nearly 600 miles an hour. And when it hit this soft dirt that was filled in this landmine, it liquefied.
Now, I don't know about you, but any dirt that sits in the ground for years tends to get packed.
Right.
So that would make it not so soft.
Right. Then they said that the entire plane, as it went into the ground, was buried. Okay? That's what the government says happened. They also, first of all, said that heroes on the plane, Todd Beamer and so forth, that they overtook the supposed hijackers, but then they changed their story and said that the hijackers actually crashed the plane. So, like their explanations for the World Trade Center tower collapse.
Right.
They're flip-flopping quite a bit.
Also, wreckage was found miles away from the crash site.
Mm-hmm.
The debris was so tiny, it wasn't even visible in photos. And it looks like whatever debris was actually found, whatever parts were actually found, looks like they were staged, planted there.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so that's what we have to do now. We have to return to Shanksville. We have to see what took place that day. Now, of course, the mainstream media networks aren't going to replay this footage because they know it's so damning to the official story. But there are pictures taken right at or right after this event supposedly took place, and you can find them on the internet, right? You saw many pictures, didn't you?
Right, and if you look at the pictures with the blast, it looks like an ordnance blast, similar to what we'd see in Iraq.
Right, but first of all, what we have to look at is what's surrounding this event. So, how about the grass?
Well, the grass was unscorched and unburnt, kind of like what we see at the Pentagon.
Exactly. That's what it's so reminiscent of. And it seems like wherever these planes crash, the grass is so strong that nothing ever happens.
It's amazing grass.
Yeah.
And there's only a partially burnt tree line.
Yeah.
And there's no trail of airplane wreckage.
Also, if you look at this supposed crash crater, what it looks like is that the grass has already started growing in by the time the pictures were taken only hours after this supposed event took place. Now, I don't know if this is miracle grass that can grow in within a matter of 1 or 2 hours, but what it appears is that this crater was dug beforehand, mm-hmm. and the grass started to grow in already by the time 9/11
Yeah, and conveniently enough, this crater is located right next to an access road.
Yeah, which means that whoever wanted to stage this has very easy accessibility
right.
to this area. Now, we already mentioned that the grass was pristine, and it was also, there was no or very little fire damage to it, wasn't there?
Right. And they were able to extract whatever tiny parts and debris of an entire 757 out in hand buckets.
Yeah.
How plausible is this?
So, we know that this plane, Flight 93, was supposed to be making a cross-country journey. The best estimates say that at the time of this supposed crash, it would have had 9,000 gallons of jet fuel inside of it. Now, to put this in perspective, 9,000 gallons of fuel would fill up 500 automobiles. 500. So when we look, we'll try to imagine blowing up 500 automobiles at the same time, and then what the surrounding area would look like.
Right. The burnt area is not consistent with the amount of jet fuel that was on board the alleged 757.
Right. There is virtually no fire damage whatsoever at this area in Shanksville. Also, another good thing to do is go into Google and punch in plane crashes in rural areas or something like that. Find the best keywords. And there's a plethora of photos of plane crashes in rural areas. You'll see what an actual plane crash looks like. Does it look anything at all like the pictures we see from Shanksville?
No.
No, absolutely not.
Also, there was no immediate arrival of emergency crews at the site. And no hijacker names are evident on any of the passenger list manifests.
As a matter of fact...
But shouldn't we be seeing some?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, two of the four names are names that appear on David Ray Griffin's list of hijackers that have already been located as alive and well. In other words, they didn't get killed on 9/11. Two of them were on this plane. Also, when you look at the photographs from Shanksville, you see no tails from the plane. You see no wings. You see nothing, no damage that's consistent with the crash of a 757. The grass, as we said, is undamaged and it's unburned. So where is the physical evidence?
Right, and the parts, a lot of the parts that were found miles away in the wrong directions.
Yeah. So if we can determine what direction supposedly the plane came from, there's parts laying in the other direction. I don't know how that miraculously happens. Also, different than what happened at the Pentagon, there was no eyewitness accounts
right.
at Shanksville. And if you remember correctly, most of the eyewitness accounts at the Pentagon came from people that worked at the Pentagon mm-hmm. or were other kinds of intel operatives or defense contractors. Here, there's no eyewitness accounts of the plane actually hitting the ground there.
Right.
And, well, if you look now at the Washington Post, this is a quote directly after. This is from a person that came on the scene shortly after the event supposedly took place. He said, "It looked like someone took a scrap truck, dug a 10-foot ditch, and dumped all this trash into it."
Exactly.
That's what they said it looks like.
The Flight 93 recorders, the cockpit voice recorders, supposedly were recovered from 25 feet underground, yet there's no sign of the tail section which should have housed them.
Yeah.
How'd they get under there, and how would they yield evidence being extracted from that depth?
Oh, exactly. And we're going to talk more about that tonight. But another person that we have to put some credence into is actually the mayor of Shanksville.
Right.
His name is Ernie Stull. And he arrived on the scene shortly afterwards. And he was asked by Christopher Bolin from the American Free Press. Bolin asked him what happened to the physical wreckage of the plane. And listen to what Stull said. He said there was no plane.
Yeah.
He said there was no plane. Actually, he told this to a German television station in March of 2003. And then that's where Bolin got it from. But he said there was no plane.
Now, some people think that it was an in-flight breakup. Other people think that it was a missile. And then there are people like Ralph Schoenman who say that it was a blast from underground, right, that no plane was shot down.
Yeah, and that's another area that we're going to cover tonight when we have more room, is could this plane have been shot from the sky? And we're going to touch upon also Donald Rumsfeld's famous quote. But right now, we want to get to to Mr. Spell again. He said that his sister and a good friend of his were the first ones there. He says everyone was puzzled because the call had been that a plane had crashed. And again, he says, but there was no plane. Then there's a woman named Nina Lenzbauer who described the scene to Christopher Bolin at the American Free Press. She said the hole that this 757 supposedly landed in, mm-hmm, was 5 to 6 feet deep. And she said it was smaller than the 24-foot trailer in her front yard. Now, well, let's go back to what we do know. A Boeing 757 weighs 120,000 pounds. It's 155 feet long and 124-foot wingspan. But the hole, we're supposed to believe that fit inside a hole that's 5 to 6 feet deep?
Well, worse than that, we're supposed to believe it just sort of morphed into the ground.
Yeah, exactly. And there's also a woman, a photographer, named Valencia McClatchy. And she is the woman who took the photograph of what looks like a small nuclear blast almost, doesn't it?
Yes.
And this here is what lends credence to our opinion that some kind of underground ordnance was blown up to create this crater. And to make it look good, they probably put some kind of, you know, airplane parts and some scraps and paper and so forth to have it blow out in that fashion to make it look like there was an explosion.
Now, supposedly, they recovered remains and belongings of victims which were able to survive this horrific crash. Yet, parts of the plane didn't survive at all. Now
right.
We're starting to see some more similarities to the Pentagon.
Right.
How does human flesh and pieces of body parts survive?
Right. And we don't even know if there were any bodies there.
Right.
Because there wasn't a plane there. How would
right.
bodies get there? How would flesh or DNA get there?
Let's go over some of the evidence void we have. No hard evidence of any alleged hijackers were on the flights,
mm-hmm.
on any of the four flights. There's no video of hijackers at any of the three originating airports, except this video allegedly showing hijackers of Flight 77. The hijackers do not appear on the passenger lists. Several have turned up alive since the attack. None of four flight crews radioed air traffic control about the hijackings in progress. None of the four flight crews punched in the four-digit hijacking code either. There's no public evidence of remains of the hijackers at any of the crash sites, and none of the contents of the black boxes have been made public.
So ask yourself, what are the odds? If you look at the supposed Pentagon crash and the supposed Shanksville crash, what are the odds that you have two jumbo jets crashing within, an hour of each other,
mm-hmm.
yet there's no tail, there's no wings, there are very few parts to be found anywhere, the grass is untouched, there are no dead body parts found anywhere, and there's no cargo. What are the odds that this can happen within an hour of each other? It's virtually impossible.
Right, and if we know that the government lied about the physics of 9/11, it's quite possible they may have faked the number of people who actually died on 9/11 as well.
Right. Now, another good thing to look at is a crash that recently happened in Nigeria. And what did they find surrounding this crash? Well, there were all kinds of dismembered and burned body parts.
Right.
They found them laying right out near the wreckage.
Trail of plane wreckage.
Yep, there was a fuselage. They found engine parts. These were strewn over an area that was the size of a football field.
I tell you, those wrecks on 9/11 were the cleanest airplane
exactly.
crashes in history.
Also in Nigeria, they found wigs. They found human intestines laying on the ground. They found clothes, foam seats. They even found a human hand laying right there among the wreckage. Yet at the Pentagon and in Shanksville, none of these objects are found anywhere. Nothing.
Yeah, it's simply amazing.
Yeah, lastly, in Nigeria, the wreckage burned for over 24 hours, for an entire day. It didn't disappear into the ground. And as we said, anyone that approached this site could easily identify body parts strewn among
right.
the wreckage.
Plus, the smoke emanating from Flight 93's alleged crash is not indicative of burning jet fuel. As yeah. we said before, it's more indicative of ordnance, of an ordnance blast.
Yeah, that's right. Now, let's get let's go back to this mushroom cloud. And what we saw in this photograph is a big cloud that rose from the area where the plane is supposedly wrecked with a narrow base. And when you compare this photograph to photographs of ordnances that have been exploded in Iraq, they look almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is some kind of underground explosive that was done there to create the crater. And it's basically what it can do is all we can conclude is that it was a high explosive and that these explosives were somehow pre-planted in this former strip mine.
Yeah, it's very interesting. There's so many questions swirling around Flight 93, yet we really don't hear people talking much about the fact that it could have just been a staged crash.
Exactly. Or, a staged non-crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing, and Lisa touched upon this earlier, is the government says that Flight 93 landed or crashed at 10:03 a.m., right?
Right.
But there's a seismic recording institute or facility near Shanksville that said that a huge event took place at 10:06:05,
right.
over 3 minutes after the supposed crash. Now, how do we coincide these two events, this three-minute gap?
Right. Also, the cell phone calls don't seem to hold water due to the cruising altitude of the plane, the shielding of the aircraft skin, and the cell tower switching technology of the day. So there's a lot of questions about those phone calls, and I know that's been talked about quite a bit in the past, too.
Yeah, and that was one of the big things that right off the bat everybody knew it was a lie, because at that time we didn't have the technology to make cell phones, and it was only, a year or so ago that a company came out and made a big announcement that now you can make cell phone calls from in-flight airliners.
Also, if you notice, out of all four planes, Flight 93 had the most cell phone calls said to have been made. I think it was like 13 phone calls.
Right. And hopefully, on Visit Show tonight, Vinny Sammartino will be able to call in. And he wrote an article that describes all the discrepancies in the passenger list, in the Federal Recovery Program for the money, and also the death index, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, according to the government, 98% of the people who claimed a loss on 9/11 took the government blood money. Yet that's not what Vinny Sammartino found out when he did his research. Flight 93, 45 people supposedly dead, 6 were listed in the Social Security death index as dead. On Vinny's list, none of those people ended up being on the victim compensation government blood money list. According to the government, 25 people accepted the blood money, but the government has failed to provide a final report of names
right.
that we can cross-check this with. For Flight 11, 92 people supposedly died, 20 people were listed in the Social Security Death Index, Vinny's list. Of the 20, 3 were on the government blood money list.
And as Vinny says, there's one thing we can always count on with human nature, and that's greed.
That's right.
If anybody has a chance to make money, they're going to, yet only a small percentage of these families, these surviving families, actually went and collected the money. How do we explain that?
Yeah, I think we're talking like 11 out of 266 or something like that. 11? Human greed, I think, would factor in a higher number than that.
And we're talking about millions of dollars.
Right, especially since a lawyer will tend to tell a client to take the money and run.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And real quickly, now we're going to talk more about this tonight on Visigoth's show. There's, as you can tell, there's just way too much to cover in the length of our show. But a lot of people say that Flight 93 was actually shot down
right.
over Shanksville. And they say, well, if you don't believe that, Donald Rumsfeld even made a Freudian slip. And this was on December 27th of last year, 2004.
Yep, I remember that.
And he said the people who attacked the United States in New York shot down the plane over Pennsylvania. Now, Vinny Sammartino says that he thinks this is a deliberate slip of the tongue to divert people away from the fact that there was no plane there.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is, anything they do tell us, you have to always look between the lines. Are they going to come out and be that stupid and make a statement like that and not have somebody's head roll for
it? That's right. Yeah, finally, before we go today, we can look to State Police Major Lyle Zupinka. And here's what he said, or here's what he described when he went to the Shanksville site. He says, if you go down there, you wouldn't know that was a plane crash. You would look around and say, I wonder what happened here. The first impression looking around, you wouldn't say, oh, it looks like a plane crash. The debris is very, very small. He continues, he says, the best I can describe it as is if you've ever been to a commercial landfill when it's covered and you have papers flying around. He's comparing this crash site to a landfill with just pieces of paper floating around.
Right.
Where's the wreckage?
So once again, we have to ask, where's the plane?
Right. If no plane hit the Pentagon, or we should say if Flight 77 didn't hit the Pentagon, if Flight 93 didn't crash in Shanksville, and we know that 9/11, the World Trade Center towers, was a controlled demolition, what can we conclude?
Well, we conclude there's a lot of funny business going on with Flight 93, and we'd like to know why a lot of these people aren't showing up listed as dead on the Social Security Death Index. It's been 4 years now. If Social Security updates their stats once a year, those people who are supposed to be dead should be listed as dead.
I think we can conclude that everything the government has said or explained about 9/11 is an absolute bold-faced lie. Everything about 9/11 is a sham. And look what we have now. The Patriot Act. We have this god-awful war in Iraq. We had the anthrax scares and God only knows what else. The whole thing is a disaster.
An anomaly here, a discrepancy here. We're talking bogus from A to Z, soup to nuts.
The biggest lies ever told about anything.
Right.
Occurred on 9/11.
And that's why we need to hammer away at 9/11 relentlessly, because it was the lies of 9/11, the enormous, atrocious lies of 9/11 that led to the bogus war and the horrible state of this nation today.
Right. And if we consider how many lies this administration has told in the last 5 years, it boggles my mind when people say, oh, yeah, well, I know they've lied all that much, but then they say they told the truth about 9/11.
Right.
How can they forgive them or cover up for the government when they know all the other lies that they've told?
Right. And
it's incredible.
The people who place more significance upon the hearsay, eyewitness testimonies, etc., over physical evidence really need to rethink that, because physical evidence must take precedence. And there's a serious lack of physical evidence with the Pentagon and Flight 93, according to the government's story.
That's right. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk about Mr. Michael Collins Piper, who we think is the best political writer in America, if not the world. And not only is he a great writer, but just a hell of a guy, isn't he? And we want to talk about him.
Fantastic person, and he's extremely, extremely just a terrific resource of knowledge.
Right.
Vault.
And, you know, we come out a lot on Wing TV and tell you or show you the people to stay away from. Well, we want to have some balance, and we want to show you the people also that you should look to if you want to know the truth about what's happening in the world.
And I'll tell you what, he's very courageous, because there aren't too many people that will delve this deeply into Zionism and the Israeli lobby and the neoconservative agenda like Michael Collins Piper.
That's right. Now, we're going to be on Visigoth's show tonight from the Grassy Knoll. You can get all the details on the Wing TV homepage. And we're going to cover Flight 93 in more depth than we're able to today. So, until then, keep your eyes open, because there is a lot going on.
See you then.